The last time I was at a service when the praise began with an organ and ended on the piano was my wedding day. The electricity went off during the last praise. Yes. We're coming now to the fifth commandment. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we swapped number 5 and number 6 around, so the young people who are away on the weekend will have the pleasure of hearing that they have to honour their father and mother today. The 10 commandments can be summarised as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And the commandments therefore can be divided in two. The first 4 about our love and our duty to God, and then the final 6 about our love and our duty to other people. And as we looked at the 5th commandment today, about honouring our parents, which is the first commandment about our duty to other people, we need to realise that we cannot separate our responsibility to God and our responsibility to others. In fact, we can say that the only way that we can keep the commandments about our duty to others is if we first keep the commandments about our duty to God. Our morals will not be what they should be if our worship with God isn't what it should be. Or to put it another way, our horizontal relationships with people will not be good if our vertical relationship with God isn't what it should be. And as we think today about family life, we can echo our closing praise, which says these words: O happy home, where thou art loved the dearest, thy loving friend and saviour of our race. God has to be in the right place if our relationship with others are going to be right. As we think about this commandment, the first thing to consider today is why we should honour our parents. I'm going to give 4 reasons why we should. First of all, because simply it is right. Ephesians 6 and 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." William Hendrickson, the commentator, says, "Under God, these children owe their very existence to their parents. The parents, moreover, are older, have had more experience, know more, and as a rule are wiser. Also, when conditions are normal, until the time of marriage, no one loves these children more intensely than do their parents." And in the light of all that our parents have done for us in giving us life, in caring for us since we were helpless babes, in sacrificing for us, in giving their time and their money to care for us, it is right, it is proper, it is a natural thing to love, honour and respect them in return for all that they have done. But sadly, sometimes when children receive so much from their parents, they take it for granted and they become selfish, self-centred, and their life is all about me, 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 what I can get. And they lose the gratitude they should have and a sense of how much they owe their parents. Children, young people, think of how much your parents do for you. Think of the time and the money they put into providing for you, driving you here and there, buying, washing, ironing your clothes, preparing food, giving you a comfortable home. So much that we can easily take for granted. Honour your parents, because in the light of all of this, it is simply the right thing to do. But secondly, we should honour our parents because it is accepting God's authority over us. Romans 13 and 1 says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Now, normally we use this verse in application to governments, but it also has important significance to family life. Parents have authority because it has been given to them by God. The reason why the home is not a place where everyone has an equal say in whatever happens in deciding what is right or wrong is because God has established parents as the leaders, as the rulers in the home. And the parents' responsibility is to exercise rule on behalf of God. Parents are God's agents to teach and to discipline their children. This is why rebellion against parents is such a serious crime in God's eyes. Among the laws given by God to the children of Israel, we read in Deuteronomy 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now, we do not take such action today in the New Testament. But that commandment of God shows us that rebellion against parents was such a great evil, a tremendous evil, because it was really rebellion against God's authority, something that God could not tolerate. Now, we live in days in which there is great anti-authority sentiment. There's often little regard for the authority of the state, for the authority of the police, for the authority of school teachers, little regard for the authority of the church and the authority of parents in the home. But we need to realize that so much of this anti-authority feeling is really anti-God. Romans 13:2 says, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Now, this is very important for all of us who have to submit to authority. But this is particularly true for our young people and our children. The world may think it is cool, it is trendy, it is acceptable to be anti-authority, to be cynical, to be critical about those who rule over us. But you must realize that to be a true follower of Christ, to love Christ, to obey Christ, you must revere and submit to every authority that has been established by God. And you begin by honoring your parents. Young people, Christ called you to be a rebel. Not a rebel against your parents, but a rebel against the rebellious attitude of your peers. You be radical. You be different. You be what Jesus wants you to be. Thirdly, we should honor our parents because it is being like Jesus. Luke 2:51 says of Jesus and his earthly parents, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Even though Jesus, as the Son of God, was the creator and sustainer of the world, and Mary and Joseph, they owed their lives to him because he's the creator, Jesus was obedient to them as his earthly parents. Even though he was perfect and sinless, and they were flawed and sinful, Jesus was obedient to them as his earthly parents. Even though he was all wise and all knowing, and they were limited and imperfect in their knowledge, Jesus was obedient to them as his earthly parents. And when we honor our parents, when we're submissive and respectful to them, then we're being like Jesus. Now, this obedience of Jesus to his earthly parents reflected something of his honor and obedience to his heavenly Father. The whole work of salvation is really about Jesus' obedience to his heavenly Father. The writer to the Hebrews says that when Jesus came into this world, his words were, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. And Jesus' life was about total obedience to his Father. So much so that at the end of his life, in that great prayer in John 17, he could say, "I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Not one thing that the Father had asked Jesus to do did he ever fail to do. Or as Paul says in Philippians 2, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." At our Presbytery rally on Wednesday, the Reverend Alistair Morris was leading us through the Garden of Gethsemane and to those great words of submission by Christ as he was confronted with the horror of the cup of God's wrath, which was Calvary. And he said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." And he recoiled at the horror of the wrath of God that he would experience at Calvary. And then he says, "Yet, not what I will, but what you will." What you will. Now, even though the Son of God was equal to the Father in substance, in power, in glory, for the purpose of salvation, he submitted to his Father all the way to the cross. And that amazing loving, that amazing submission is what we're called to imitate in honouring our parents. And this is something that is possible for us only when the Spirit of Christ lives within us. The Spirit that took Jesus to the cross, when he lives within us, he enables us and empowers us to be the children that we're called to be. So we honour our parents because it is right. We honour our parents because it is accepting God's authority. We honour our parents because it is being like Jesus. And fourthly, we honour our parents because it is the path to blessing. In the commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 12, it says, "Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you." Obedience to parents meant living long and being blessed in the land. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, we read in verse number 2, "Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." You see, the pathway to blessing in the Old Testament and the New Testament has to include obedience to this commandment to honour our parents. We cannot expect blessing in life if we refuse to honour them. We look to God the Father for blessing, but part of God's plan, part of his blueprint by which we would receive blessing, includes this honouring our parents. We often use the illustration about an electrical appliance. And if you're going to use an electrical appliance, you have to follow the maker's instructions if it's going to work properly and work well. And we apply it to ourselves. We have to follow the maker's instructions if we're going to know blessing in this life. And following the maker's instructions includes keeping the fifth commandment. Children, young people, you want a life of blessing from God. Well, you cannot expect it to come your way if you do not take seriously this command to honour your father and your mother. Society and the nation will only flourish when parental authority is respected. In life, there must be order, there must be structure, and part of God's plan in providing that order and structure and avoiding anarchy in this world is the family and parental authority. And if parental authority falls apart, so will eventually the government's authority that is around. In the 1960s in America, there was a terrible anti-authority movement. There was a generation who wanted to tear down all authority, including the government. Annie Gottlieb was part of that movement as a young person. And commenting on it, she says, "We might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on it. And we believed that the family was the foundation of the state. We truly believed the family had to be torn apart. And the first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents." And she understood, and she was absolutely right. She understood if she could tear the family apart, they could tear the nation apart. There's such a link between the family and the authority in the home and what happens in society. And don't we know that? How often have you heard it said by others or even said it yourself when young people go astray? Where are their parents? We blame their parents. It's not always parents' fault. But when parental control breaks down, society will break down. So four reasons why we must honour our parents. It's right in the light of what they have given to us. In doing so, we submit to God's authority. In doing so, we're being like Jesus. It is the pathway to receiving God's blessing. But secondly, how do we honour our parents? How we honour our parents? The obligation to honour our parents remains with us every step of our lives. No matter what age we are, no matter what age our parents are, the obligation remains. But how we honour our parents will change, and it will vary depending on the stage that we're at in life. This word to honour comes from a word meaning weight. It's the same word from which we get the word glory. And the glory of God speaks of God's weightiness. It speaks of the fact that God is no lightweight, that he is to be honoured because of his great worth. And God's glory is the revealing of his immeasurable worth to us. And that to honour our parents means to recognise the great worth of our parents. Great worth because of all that they have done for us, and great worth also because of the high position of importance and authority they've been given in our lives by God. And to honour our parents means we understand that they have been given a substantial, a weighty position in our lives. Let me mention three ways in which we are to honour our parents. First of all, obedience. Children living at home honour their parents primarily through obeying their commands. Young children, you need to realise that you're to obey your parents because God has called you to do this. God has given your parents a position of rule in your life, which you must accept and respect. You honour your parents not only with obedient actions, but also with an obedient attitude. You're not to be like the little boy who was forced to sit down by his teacher who says, "I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside." You're to obey not to stay in their good books when they're watching, but you're to obey because God says it is right for you to do this. Children, young people, how obedient are you? God commands you to obey and warns that disobedience to your parents is a serious sin because your parents have been given this position of authority. And when you're disobeying them, unless they're asking you to do something against God's word, when you disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. Obedience. The second way we honour our parents is respect for their position and their views. Now, when adult children leave home and are married, they no longer have the responsibility to obey their parents. Some may say hooray. Genesis 2 and 24 speaks of a man leaving his father and mother to get married. And that word leaving is a very strong word which means the breaking of a covenant relationship. And when a son or daughter gets married, their relationship with their parents changes. They have now formed a new family unit and they're no longer under obligation to submit to the rule of their old home. And many problems in marriage happen because either the children who've got married or the parents who they've left fail to see how their relationship has changed in regards to authority. And children who get married and leave the home do not have to obey their parents. But although they don't have to obey, they still have to honour their parents. That obligation never goes away. And this honour shows itself by having a proper respect for them. Proper respect for their views. I know of a situation that happened of a lovely Christian home. Two Christian parents who brought up their children in the ways of God. And the children came to profess faith, but sadly, a couple of the children, when they left home, they went away from the things of God. On one occasion, they were back home again. They were having a family barbecue. This was a family which would have very strong rules in regards to taking alcohol and Sabbath observance. And the children, when at home, went out on a Sunday afternoon to buy alcohol for the barbecue. Maybe they're no longer under the obligation to obey. But they are under the obligation to respect their parents and to respect their views. Honour must always remain. And the third way in which we are to honour our parents is to care for their needs. As parents get older, children have the responsibility to see that their spiritual, physical and emotional needs are met. If you want to turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to read here from verse 3. This is a section which Paul writes to Timothy about widows and then elders and slaves. And 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, he says, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." And go down to verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Here we have a stern warning for those who don't see that their parents are cared for in regards to their needs. Paul is basically saying that a faith that doesn't care for parents is a faith that is useless. Now, Jesus was on the same theme, if you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 15, which we read earlier. And here in Matthew 15, Jesus' disciples are being accused of not washing their hands ceremonially before meals. Now, that was not a requirement in God's law, but rather it was a law made up by the Jews, and the Jesus' disciples were not following it. Now, Jesus responds by saying that what the Pharisees were doing was much more serious, because they were actually breaking the fifth commandment and not honouring their parents as they should have. Here in Matthew 15 and verse 4, Jesus, we read, "For God said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honour his parents with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your parents." And what was happening here was that money that the children might have used to help their parents in their old age, they were declaring it korban, which was a special gift for God. And there was something in the Jewish writings which said if you declared something as a gift to God, you didn't have to use that money then for the help of your parents. It's almost like a way we would have people try to avoid taxes in ways. And this is right, I've declared this as a gift to God, so my parents have no say in getting it. But really, the money probably didn't end up as a gift to God even. But it was just a ploy to get out of providing for their parents. And they gave a great pretense of being religious, but they were allowing their parents to suffer at the same time. Now Jesus is furious and he's scathing here. Look at verse 7. You hypocrites. And this is the first time recorded that Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but the rules taught by men. And I think the best application of this for today would be someone who's very active in church life, but who has so little time ever to attend to the needs of their parents, or who rarely even visits their parents. Someone who comes across very religious but has very little time for their parents in providing for them. It is terrible. It's a terrible slur on the gospel. People who profess to be Christians but show little practical love to their parents, it's obnoxious. And as Jesus say here, your worship is in vain. Your Christianity is pointless. If you have a Christianity in which you're all religious and involved in the life of the church, but do not care for your kith and kin, and do not care for those who have provided for you. And Jesus is saying here, I want to see religion in which you love your parents. You care for their needs. Now, I know sometimes people have been felt very guilty if their parents ever go into a residential home or a nursing home, and they feel that sometimes they are letting their parents down and they're failing to fulfill the requirements if they allow that to happen. There are a lot of pros and cons in that. But sometimes the best provision for our parents will be going to places where they get better care. But whatever decision is taken, we must always love and care for our parents. How do we honour our parents? Children at home with obedience. And then we all must respect them and their views. We must provide for their needs, particularly in old age. One final point, which is very quickly a word to parents. The fact that the commandments regarding our behaviour to others begins with a focus on family life shows us the importance of the family and God's plans. And parents, you have a God-given responsibility which you must use very wisely. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And those of us who are parents, we will have to give an account for how we fulfill this role one day. We need to realize that we do not own our children. We are stewards. Our children have been given to us for a time. And we should recognize that they belong to the Lord. And we should therefore bring up our children in the teaching and discipline that God desires. We should bring up our children in a way which means we're worthy of their respect. Our desire should be like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that our children will rise up and call us blessed. And blessed above all, because they saw Christ in us. And they saw us as people who led them to Christ. In caring for our children, we should also recognize the tremendous potential there is. Many of us had the privilege on Wednesday night in listening to the Reverend Alistair Morris. Those of us who are ministers had a great privilege of listening to him on Thursday morning. And on Thursday morning he told us how in 1796, this is about 250 years after the Church of Scotland had been formed, they still had never sent out a missionary overseas. And at the 1796 General Assembly, a motion calling for the speedy spread of the gospel among the nations was rejected by the Church of Scotland General Assembly. But in 1829, just over 30 years later, The attitude had totally changed within the Church of Scotland. And Alexander Duff, the first Church of Scotland missionary, was sent to India. This was followed with the likes of David Livingstone to Africa and John G. Patton to the South Sea Islands. Now, what was the secret to this change within the Church of Scotland? Well, this is what Alistair Morris told us. Moved by reports from America of revival there under the likes of Jonathan Edwards, and moved by reports of David Brainerd, who was a missionary to the Red Indians, there was a great movement for prayer in Scotland, praying for God to pour out His Spirit. How did God answer that prayer? And this was wonderful. The answer was that very simple country folk, godly country folk, brought up their children in the fear and the teaching of Christ, teaching their children to trust and to walk in the ways of the Saviour. And this new generation, children of these godly but simple people, this new generation grew up to be great leaders in taking the gospel to India, to Africa, and to other parts of the world. And Scotland, India, Africa, and the South Sea Islands were transformed by these children. Children of simple, godly parents who prayed for their children and brought them up in the ways of the Lord. Parents, maybe you're not going to be someone who's going to go and to trail a blaze for the gospel, but maybe your children are. Would you pray for that? And will you bring up your children in the ways of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, You say, honour your father and your mother. And Father, give us grace to honour our parents. To honour them, Father, if we're children at home, with our obedience. For all of us, Father, to honour them with our respect. And Father, to honour them by caring for them and providing for their needs. And Father, for homes where there are difficult relationships between parents and children, Father, we pray for grace and for healing. And Father, for those of us who are parents, oh Father, the responsibility that we have is awesome. May it drive us to our knees so that our precious little sons and daughters will grow up to love Christ, to walk in His ways. And Father, that You'd even raise up a generation like Alexander Duff, William David Livingstone, John G. Patton. Oh, Father, even among our children, will You raise up those who will serve Christ in such a powerful way. For the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. 648 in the hymn book is a lovely hymn. O happy home where thou art loved the dearest.